All right, I'm going to call the meeting to order, and first thing we have on the agenda is a proclamation regarding Solid Waste and Recycling Month. Steve, do you have that handy?
I sure do.
Proclamation, October 2008, Solid Waste and Recycling Month, whereas dedicated nationally recognized county professionals help to minimize our county's impact on the environment by effectively managing waste through award-winning programs, and whereas the county solid waste programs in part include waste energy, permanent household hazardous materials collection, asphalt shingle recycling, treatment of petroleum-impacted soils, and trailer home recycling, and whereas in addition to these programs, the county facilitates local and regional collaborative efforts in managing waste through shared recycling newsletters, mobile collection of household hazardous materials, access to the waste energy program, and solid waste planning, and whereas the county has shown its commitment to further enhancing solid waste and recycling efforts through sustainability practices, which will be coordinated by the county's new sustainability coordinator, and whereas all residents have an ongoing responsibility to participate in sustainability through decreasing the amount of garbage that is produced in our homes, schools, communities, and workplace by practicing waste reduction, recycling, and buying recycled products. Now, therefore, be it resolved, La Crosse County Board does hereby proclaim the month of October 2008 as La Crosse County Solid Waste Recycling Month and urges all residents to join and recognize the valuable contribution of persons dedicated to the welfare of La Crosse County residents.
I have a dispute between two people who want to make the motion, so it's moved by Leon Paff and Margaret Wood jointly and seconded by Don Meyer. Any discussion? I'm just trying to make everybody happy. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. All right, now the moment you've been waiting for, the exciting administrator's budget.
We've given you a whole lot of information. Again, we're not tonight trying to get any specific direction, although if you have opinions or things that you want us to address or would like to begin debate on any items, obviously feel free. But tonight is to try to give you an overall viewpoint. As most of you know, we're systematically going through and meeting with the individual committees. Before I get into that, though, I just want to touch on two things that are important. Number one, if you are a board member who has not yet submitted your United Way pledge, please do so. We have quite a few that have not yet done that. Again, the reminder is that I will match up to $50 every board member that contributes to the United Way for the year. With that $50 contribution, you also qualify for the raffle prizes and everything else. You can work with Terry in my office. Again, you haven't gotten up to a level that's challenged what I'm already contributing to the United Way, so please push me a little bit farther on that, and I want to encourage you to do that if you have not yet done that. So that was my commercial. The other pieces that I want to touch on, and tomorrow, for those of you that are going to the Law Enforcement Center Committee, will be a construction committee, you'll end up seeing that we're very, very close to our adopted budget for the Law Enforcement Center. We're finalizing those numbers, but the bids received are very competitive and very attractive, and we'll be handing out those numbers to you tomorrow at the Law Enforcement Center Construction Committee. So we're still refining those with the construction manager, but it looks very, very positive to do most of the things that you've talked about in all of the alternates, including most of the energy saving and conservation ideas that are involved in the actual analysis. So if you're interested and you have time, tomorrow at 4 o'clock, come and you'll learn more. And, of course, we'll be reporting back to the full board as we talk. But I just thought I'd end a little bit of suspense. Some of you have heard more details on that. We're still working on that. I thought I'd start off with a bit of good news for the budget cycle because there are quite a few things that aren't good news. So.
Before Steve talks about the budget, I do want to mention something that I know he always mentions and he'll probably say again tonight, which is, if you have questions on the budget or comments or you need some individual tutoring or whatever, Steve and the staff are very, very available. I know in the past some people have taken advantage of that. Some people have not. But please consider this an open invitation. If you have questions, they want to give you the answers.
Exactly. And if you have amendments that you want to make or you're just not sure of something and want to know why we're doing something or you'd like to propose a change, a reduction, an increase, You know, we'll help you work through that. This is your budget that you have to work with. This is only the administrator's budget recommendation. I've done the best I can with a team of department heads and finance folks. Obviously, Gary Ingelson and Mary Powell have been key to this, and I'm proud of the recommendation that we're bringing you. But at the same time, you need to make it yours and make whatever amendments are necessary that you and other supervisors want to adopt or change in the budget. I'm going to go over, I've only got six slides here, so you'll be pleased with that. You can applaud later if you'd like.
We're in the red already?
Yeah. Well, remember, Tara Johnson complained that I didn't have enough fancy stuff on my slides, so I added some color, not much. We went from the smooth tranquility of the introduction to a red slide of the 2009 changes, challenges that are updated. You've seen all of these that are here that continue to be challenges, the 2% levy limit, the obvious average investment rates are down on our fund balances, sales tax revenue is basically flat. We know what our wage settlement pattern will be based on what we're likely to have to settle for within binding arbitration is set at a 2-1 split. Obviously, asphalt costs are up, gas and utilities are up, register of deeds revenue is down, courts and other revenue in many other places are down, and I'll give you a summary of that. And, of course, court-appointed attorney costs are up. As I've said earlier, we'll be asking you to add 5 new jailers to start in 2009. The 2% levy limit that the state, in their infinite wisdom, provides to us doesn't allow us to actually increase levy for that purpose. They do allow us to issue debt for building a jail, but not for staffing it. Justice Sanctions has a loss of drug court revenue and increased costs of electronic monitoring and SCRAM. We have significant capital improvement needs for Lakeview. Obviously, home health will be discussed significantly tomorrow at the Health and Human Services Board, and we have slowing tax base growth with only 1.79% countywide. The new one that I added to this is number 11. The bond market is less stable than it had been earlier in the year, and the interest rates are a little less attractive than they had been when we had originally done this projection. Finance staff and I are working very hard on identifying what are other options we may have, including options with the state trust fund or delaying when we issue what portion of the debt for the law enforcement center. So while we got good news that the bids came in very competitive, and you'll be pleased with the decisions that you'll be asked to make regarding that and won't have to be extending beyond the authorized budget, we will have some challenges on being able to stay within our financing recommendations, though I'm still cautiously optimistic we'll be able to give you some options there as well, but it's not as simple as it was a few months ago. Obviously, you're all following what's happening on a national level that does impact the municipal bond market. I think municipal bond issues are down by about 50%, is that right, Gary, nationwide? And that when there's a credit crunch on, it's not so much just the interest rate that's charged, it's the availability of capital to invest. Even if we continue to be one of the strongest places for someone to invest in and be guaranteed to get their return on investment, there's still the ability or the shortage, I should say, of capital available for lending. So that's going to be a challenge for us. And we'll talk more in detail towards the end of the month as we bring you specific recommendations on that. We'll also talk a little bit about that tomorrow at the Law Enforcement Center Construction Committee because we're working on recommendations as well. The green slide had been opportunities. You've adopted most of those opportunities with the refinancing of the portion of the Law Enforcement Center that you did at the last county board meeting. We had hoped to save close to $400,000 by refinancing. As you recall, we'll save about $200,000, which is still good over the 6 years, but not as much as we had been hoping for. The major issues that will start to come through governing committees and to come to the full board will be position requests and changes, fees and charges you have on your desk, not to review tonight, but later on at one of our future board meetings, we'll go through this and ask you to adopt this and to debate changes in fees and charges throughout the organization. Remember that we instituted that several years ago, and each year we update that and what the impact is to people that use services, and that it should not be paid for directly by property taxpayers, but by the users. We'll continue to review those issues with governing committees and come back at a future meeting on that. Tomorrow night at Human Services, we'll talk more about the Humane Society costs and dog license increase, and we'll talk about prevention programs in Human Services. I know that the board has already been talking about that. There will be recommendations coming out of Health and Human Services, I believe, and a recommendation that's going to executive on increasing the funding for Cooley Mediation Services. Home health costs, we'll be talking about that and some of the impact because it's a non-mandated service, but we continue to be a provider under the administrator's recommended budget for CMO, even though it's going regional. And number seven, Leon, we're starting to fund the expansion for the Manduro Library if the administrator's budget is adopted as presented. MVHS revenue and the Lakeview Capital Plan continue to be tied very closely together. We're identifying some issues between La Crosse County and the Department of Human Services at the state level that are asking questions that we need to resolve that we'll be keeping you up to date on. And obviously, fund balance levels and usage we'll go over in some detail. We've got handouts for you that went out in the packet, as well as what the final bottom line overall levy and increase is. I want to direct you to the blue sheet that's on your handout that has the actual copies of this PowerPoint slide, because I'm going to come back to the tax levy by department, but I want to just highlight kind of the summary. I should have reversed these two slides. But on the back of your handout is a brief overview that really summarizes the entire budget book, all the work that went into it, and the two-page yellow, which again is an improvement that we hope you find valuable, so you can zero in very quickly on where our priorities are for increased levy. And you can see that since it's ranked by the change in levy on the far right-hand column, you can see very quickly where the increases in levy are, and you'll notice that with the exception of a couple of the top departments, this is a very, very limited increase levy to any department. And if you go over to the second side, I'll just summarize overall where we're at. This year, the transition to a regional care management organization called Western Wisconsin Cares deletes over $51 million from our gross budget. It ends up deleting 129.75 full-time equivalents. This is the result of a great deal of work on behalf of your Health and Human Services Board and county staff from finance to IT. Jerry Huber, our Human Services Director, spent a great deal of time on this over the last several years, and it's probably a demonstration and an indication of how innovative and dedicated our board and our staff are, that just when we innovate in a program doesn't mean that we're going to keep our turf larger or keep our number of employees larger. If we have a means to be able to downsize or decrease a level of service that no longer has to be provided by the county, you don't have to believe our word for it. It's right there in the budget. It took a lot of work to figure out with the state bureaucracy how to end up letting that system go regional and to end up being in a position that, frankly, removes any possibility that long-term care through that type of service can be put back on La Crosse County property taxpayers. It has been the single greatest impact on controlling property taxes for human services prior to my arrival. Again, I don't take credit for this. I've been a part of it during my time here, but the Health and Human Services Board, Jerry Huber, and the staff throughout CMO and clinical services, quite frankly, really stepped up 10 years ago and made this happen, and it's not going to get a lot of accolades from the public. They're not going to generally understand the complexity of it, but right there is a significant decrease in the total gross spending and an assurance that they can't come back to us from the state level to provide a property tax for that, and it's a decrease of almost 130 full-time equivalent employees from the authorized budget.
Tanvina.
the state was picking up those costs all along, but what actually is the difference between the cost to the county? We're just transferring those into the state's sure. fund now from the state's fund, basically, but they were on our payroll. What is the total cost difference now?
The total cost difference, if you take into account the fact that we used to levy for that service
right.
and we don't have to levy anymore and that
That's
we
right.
no longer have to take the risk. Remember, roughly 3 years ago, we learned of a large multi-million dollar deficit in that fund. We had to dig yeah. our way out of that and deal with that. Had we not done that, that would have gone back to the property taxpayers.
Right.
So, yes, that deletion of $51 million today did not directly change our total tax levy,
right.
but it eliminated our risk, and it also eliminated the ability for that program and service area to come back on us and ask for any additional property tax levy. I wish I could tell you that was going to reduce our property tax levy additionally, but the fact is that by over time, making sure that we did not levy any dollars after, I think, was it 2001?
Yeah.
2001 was the last time we levied property taxes in that area. And before we just get into everything else, this is a huge benchmark or milestone in La Crosse County to accomplish that. It shows that when we stick our neck out and agree to be one of the innovators, agree to be a pilot county, it comes back to our benefit. And it is, and I've shown you those graphs before, it's the single largest impact on controlling property tax levy in human services. And if you notice in the hierarchy of departments, human services is only fourth in total increase in levy, and quite frankly, their increase in levy this year is less than their total increase in wages and benefits. So over a period of time, we are one of the few counties that have been able to do a better job, and I can't promise long term, but over the rearview mirror, the last 6 or 7 years, this team has done a great deal to control property tax levy, and again, saying we don't need to keep it on our turf. If there's a way to make it regional and to support that, we weren't getting paid for all the work that we put into making it regional either. So
but
it was
there is actually another impact that's easy to overlook, and that is with the additional people that are being served, that's bringing in more dollars, and those dollars go to
Thank
providers
you.
In this community who use those dollars that they receive as income to go to restaurants, buy food, buy cars, and so forth, and so they are paying taxes,
exactly.
property taxes, sales tax, and so forth. It's easy to overlook that, but that's a huge impact.
Thank you so much, Steve. That 85% of that is not staff people of Western Wisconsin Cares. It's contract agencies in this community. Mm-hmm. Other counties don't have, and regions don't have that level of service, so it's really been an economic stimulus to this community, and also, it keeps it off the property taxes. Thanks for pointing that out.
But I think the other thing is that, you know, when we first started this, the state and the county combined and eliminated a lot of different departments because those departments all worked together under this program. And now we don't have so many departments either. They're more put together with all the agencies that did partial things that were on our tax roll before. They all combined into one in the CMO, basically.
I think you're talking different funding streams, yeah. not departments.
Well, they were different funding streams before we started this. They were individual in our
right.
budget book.
Right.
But we were paying those, and now the state took over, and now they're all combined into one, and it did do a good job for us. I remember that because I was on human services when we started this, and I remember real well the discussions we had. So,
Ray Ebert.
Thank you, sir. First question is the 2% levy limit, no new state federal revenue for mandates. What new mandates have we seen this year?
Particularly in land conservation is a brand new mandate related to stormwater management. We're having to staff an additional position there. And unfunded mandates continue in courts. Jail is a perfect example, but courts and court-appointed attorneys continue to exceed our ability to fund that from existing levy.
Okay, and question two, in the CMO transition, losing 130 employees and $51 million, will we also see a decrease in our infrastructure costs for example IT personnel accounting any of that since we're managing less money and less people will we see a savings there?
I doubt that we will. We'll end up seeing a decrease in indirect costs, but we never staffed up to absorb that amount of growth. When we first started to provide that service from internal services, we absorbed that workload just as Jerry absorbed that workload of supervising an agency that went from very few employees to 130 over 5 years. So we did not staff up to provide that service, but we will be losing the indirect revenue that we were able to receive.
Thank you, sir.
Don Meyer.
Thanks, Steve. Question for Steve or Jerry. I realize when the drug court started, we got a grant to start it and get it going. Can we go for any additional grants now that it's going to keep it going?
Not separately for drug court. We did for OWI court.
Yeah, I know we did.
And I know we'll get into that in more detail as we go through, but we continue to pursue grants. There's one that's outstanding that Gene has applied for that I can't remember the title of that. It was
just found out today that we didn't get it.
We didn't? Oh, thank you. Well,
never mind.
But we'll keep on applying.
Yes.
Jane, but I assume that it would be correct that there's pretty much zero likelihood of any more drug court grants?
Yeah.
It was really just to get it started, right?
Right, and then we actually applied for an enhancement grant to get it started.
Okay, that's the one I was talking about.
Thank you.
Other questions before Steve moves on? Okay.
The other reason that I pointed that out is that when you do year-by-year comparisons, I thought it was important to highlight one of the greatest changes, because when you compare spending from 1 year to the next, levy from 1 year to the next, it's important to make sure that you'll notice that our total gross spending is going down from $212 million to $132 million in expenses. Recognize that $51 million of that, of course, is the transfer of CMO. Also, you won't budget twice for the law enforcement center, the $29.5 million. So once you take those two out of the mix and compare 2008 to 2009, the total gross expenditure for La Crosse County with all departments is only going up 1.3%. That's how tight the decisions are in what we've made. But also recognize that then if you do the same math and exclude CMO revenue and bond proceeds from that $173 million 2008 budgeted revenues, it adds up to a total, and we don't have that on your page, of $93 million versus 2009 budgeted revenue of $92.5 million. Revenues are actually down by approximately 0.5%, even with the fees and charges we've been able to increase. Remember, most of the state and federal revenue does not go up. Most of the increase in, for example, court surcharges just goes into the coffers of the state and doesn't provide any increased revenue to us. The cost of the courts and most of the criminal justice system continues to be borne by the property taxpayer without any adequate assistance from the federal government or the state government.
Don Vina?
But on the other hand, didn't we get $2 million back from the old landfill that we're putting in the budget, at least $1 million we're putting in, which doesn't have to be accounted for, and that decreased that 1 point, whatever you said it was?
No. No,
that
actually is funding part of the increase for highway, and I'll get to that in a moment.
You're, I agree. Okay.
Right. And by the way, no one outside of the county provided for that funding. That's all been generated locally by taxpayers, which is why it's coming back to funding a priority, which is our county roads, as opposed to funding landfill long-term care when we no longer have to do that.
Tara Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Back to Supervisor Bina's question a couple minutes ago about the CMO. Am I right in thinking that part of the gross revenue being down is indirect expenses that the county used to get from the CMO that in personnel, right, facilities, whatever, over the years, right, that is now we are losing as revenue as a county when Western Wisconsin Cares spins off? And how much is
right
that?
And you can see that it's the fifth line down, indirect cost, far right corner. The net decrease is about $208,000.
So line 1052 or org?
Yes.
1052?
Right.
Thank you.
So it is one of the most
That's all CMO?
Primarily. We could go through each line.
For the most part, CMO.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Finally, then, it results in a recommended tax levy under the administrator's budget increase of 5.45%. As I promised, I will be bringing you choices and decisions that will help to lower that, but will also be a two-year projection. And the, as the asterisk at the bottom of the page indicates, most of the additional savings that we can reduce that property tax increase should be in how we handle the debt service for the law enforcement center. I'll show you a number of different ways to handle that and some choices. You may not remember, but we discussed that in quite a bit of detail last year when we actually went ahead with a decision to proceed with the law enforcement center. How you time that debt, even with the difficult bond market, we will still give you good choices that I think will help moderate that that increase in levy. Obviously, because the equalized value of the county is not growing as fast as it had been, remember that the handout that you have with the colorful pie chart, what that indicates is that our equalized value has gone up 1.79%. That's the lowest increase in equalized value since 1988 for 1989 taxes. So we're already seeing some of the impact of the decrease in market value. I don't think we'll continue to see the kinds of fluctuations and drastic shifts that you're seeing on the East Coast and West Coast in price of housing, but we cannot be immune from the kinds of impacts that are happening within the mortgage market or within the value of homes, and that will continue to challenge us. Because of that, at a 5.4% increase in tax levy, if that were to be the budget that you adopt as presented to you, it will reflect an increase for the first time in several years of the tax rate from $3.60 to $3.75 projected, or about a 4% increase in rate. As I said, that's the administrator's recommended budget. We will bring you some choices and decisions along with your own budget deliberations if you choose to end up reducing some of the other things that impact the tax levy within this within the document. Also, I want you to understand that on the handout to identify, and we've tried to summarize a great deal. Well, I say it each year, this has not been an easy budget. This has been an even more difficult budget because of the fact of having to stay within a 2% property tax levy limit, as well as increased cost in nearly all areas. Cuts in capital equipment, deletion of 2.0 full-time equivalent positions, and other costs, close to $1 million was cut by the administrator from the original budget requests that were provided. In addition to that, we were unable to answer positively to new position requests, over 6.3 FTEs, even though most departments would have liked to ask for more. Even those departments that could not hold back and asked in key areas like public safety, where telecommunications supervision could use more help, two patrol officers, where the amount of coverage being demanded by patrol officers in the rural areas certainly is a valid need. We were not able to fund that, and several other areas that we'll discuss with the executive committee when we go back through the personnel resolutions, and based on their recommendation to you, then we'll review if they approve the resolutions that are before them. We'll have more insight. In addition to that, in analyzing our cash flow and in our historical nature of how we do labor settlements, we're getting closer and closer to budgeting the full cost right away instead of historically you used to carry a large contingency fund in relation to what your labor settlements would be. So I've eliminated, and you'll see that in the last item on the second page, at the bottom, $380,000, which was the general fund for salary contingency. And we'll try to stay within budgeted authorization and not carry other than what's already in there from year to year. We're starting to reduce Lakeview's levy reliance by about $250,000. They've had an increase in IGT and other revenue, as well as trying to start to rely on Mississippi Valley Health Services, although most of that new revenue, if we're able to work out the bugs between our structure and the Department of Human Services, will go towards long-term capital improvements at Lakeview, and those will be decisions that will be coming back to you, the Aging Long-Term Care Committee, and, of course, the full county board. And finally, They're spending a great deal of time with personnel, finance, and our insurance consultants based on having a pretty good positive year. And I'm knocking on wood when I say that on health insurance this year, we were able to reduce the projected increase from 15% down to 5% on health insurance. And we're confident that we're in a positive position to be able to handle that. I can't promise that 2010 will be the same way, but that was also another positive impact because we've had a good, healthy year. And every time you see a county employee, wish them well and hope they're being just as healthy because that's helping us in this calendar year.
Steve, is that across the board, or we just have been lucky and we haven't had any of those big, you know, deep end cases?
It seems to be both, actually, for this calendar year. And when we go to executive committee, we can get into a few more details about how we've done that. We have, as you know, as I mentioned earlier, our self-insurance fund is quite healthy. And then this year, we're running behind expected expenditures. So it's if we keep our fingers crossed and keep knocking on wood through the end of the year, as well as our insurance consultants recommended that 5% would be adequate for next year.
Okay. Don Dina?
Well, I know we aren't going to get into budget very much, but in looking through the book, evidently the retirees' insurance went way up, and I don't know the reason for that either.
Yeah, that's actually just a funding mechanism, and let me explain that since you brought it up. What we currently do is we don't do a lot of funding for retiree health insurance other than what people can cash in of unutilized sick leave. And that hasn't changed under my administration or under this budget. The difference is what would happen is that when somebody retires, they get to use that dollar amount towards their premium month by month. Now under the new high deductible plan and the independent prime trust account, we actually deposit that money with them. So it was already on our books as an expense, but we'll be funding that directly. Gary can probably explain it better than I just did. So it's not a new expense,
okay,
but it happened in this calendar
that's
year.
That's the extent of their savings put in the segregated accounts for them to draw on. All right.
Unlike there are other public employers that incur a large, large expense for if you're with an employer for X number of years, you'll get full retiree health insurance regardless of your sick leave balance, and they'll continue to pay it. That is not the case here in La Crosse, and the dollar amount that we're talking about is pretty small. But again, it's money that was saved by employees from their unused sick leave that's under collective bargaining. And by the way, you don't qualify for 100% at this point. I think in most bargains it's 60%. But thanks for pointing that out, because I don't want anybody to think we've changed the terms and conditions of incurring that additional liability, because that would be very, very difficult for us to do. And so those are some of the overall changes, major cuts and reductions. So as you can get an idea, there were major changes made to be able to make this budget meet the limits that have been set and the needs of the county. We also had increased levy investments, including the wage and benefit increase, which includes the 5% health insurance and the internal pattern. We have a net increase that we'll be recommending to you of 8.8 full-time equivalencies of positions. It includes five jailers starting midway through the year so they can start their training and start to ramp up to be ready for the completed jail project. There's a custodial position and resident aides out at Lakeview. The Land Conservation Department is one additional position that, again, is an unfunded mandate, having to be funded by the state to stay up with stormwater management, and an IT position that will be reducing professional services within that department and instead using that to hire an in-house development manager instead of spending more with an outside contract agency. Again, these are resolutions that are going to exec on Wednesday and will be coming back to you as part of the budget cycle. Highway expenditures are up, and I'll walk through that and talk about that a little bit more. Gas and utilities are up throughout the county, and I mentioned earlier. Did I mention earlier the Mindoro Library? Did I point that out? Okay. God, haven't we all heard enough about them? Never mind. Increased other revenue and savings. We've increased fees and charges in health, parks, land conservation, and in aging, but you'll notice that didn't have a great deal of impact on lowering the levy. It just lowered the impact of increased costs, and we'll go through that. The aging, for example, has been approved by the Commission on Aging or supported by them, and again, we'll get into all of those details when we review this with the entire board. And then, as I said earlier, the debt refunding that we did, we had hoped to save more, but the refunding that we did at the last board meeting will save about $200,000 over 6 years, or $35,000 in 2009 alone. So that's an overall summary, and then my intent was to actually kind of highlight from the hierarchy of tax levy increase the major increases and changes by department, unless people had just some general questions. Because I think that's a way of identifying priority, the places where we've increased levy the most and why, and so you get a basic idea. Again, we're reviewing that with governing committees this week as well.
Ralph Geary. Ralph, use your microphone.
You said you had five new jailers, and when this closes the women's jail, then all those jailers go across the street too?
That's right.
So they'll net out how many across the street? How many more will be across the street then, five plus? How many do we have in the women's jail now?
There are two positions, so it's a total of 12 FTEs plus these five plus the one we added in last budget. So it'll be a total of 18 new FTEs or three positions in the new jail.
Okay. Did we budget for the jail population going up next year? Or is that or does, what kind of numbers, or didn't that matter?
Frankly, we're hoping to control that because until we get the jail built, we don't have any place to put new people. So I'm hoping that we're able to maintain over this period of time. So we'll cross our fingers again on something else for the next 18 to 24 months. We're hoping that the jail population stays relatively the same.
Chair Johnson?
Isn't Supervisor Geary's district near the jail in case he has any extra beds?
Yeah, that's
it is nearby, isn't it?
That's the new jail program that we have. It's called Foster Inmate Program. So if you do want to volunteer to take one home.
Don Meyer.
Hi, Steve. We have this nice sheet on fees again, and we talked about that a little bit in our meeting last week. Are fees based on what our costs are and what we think we should have, or are we comparing them to fees from various other counties? How do we go about that?
Yes. We compare both two and want to make sure we never charge more than the true cost of providing the service or the inspection, and that's part of our analysis, as well as we do comparisons with other counties so that when we go through any one of the changes that are there, we have an idea. We're in the middle, we're low, how do we compare with other counties? So particularly when we change those, department heads have done that analysis and can provide that information to any of the fees that we have here.
But you said something about we compare them to what it actually costs us to process a zoning application.
Right. So when you go do an application for a building inspection or whatever it may be, how much staff time is involved, how many trips to the site, the actual expense of providing that service is actually a part of the analysis by staff.
Certainly they differ depending on the project.
Oh, sure.
Sometimes you put a lot of hours in.
But it's based on averages. It's based on some kind of realistic result that you know that with certain types of inspections, it will take two times to the site, and they will tie that back in. In fact, when we get into the discussion this month at PRD again, we'll talk with your committee again about that, and he can walk you through and talk about each one of the inspections and how that ties in and the fact that those fees haven't been changed for many years.
You mean Jeff?
Pardon?
Jeff will?
Yes. Or no, not Jeff. In this case, Greg.
Greg, okay. Thank you.
Don Vina.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I didn't look at the fees yet, so I will have some comments later. The question I have, you said that the Sheriff's Department wanted two people for the out-county area. You realize that 5 years ago we put on three people through a grant from the federal government, which they funded us with, 100% the first year, 75 the second, 50 the third, and then we picked up the difference. So we did put an extra car in the road, during that time. is our population increasing to the point where we need another car? Is that what you're saying?
Actually, based on the sheriff and Captain Horseman can do a better job of this, there are two things impacting, both the increase in number of calls, as well as people get more senior, they end up having more vacation and more...
in the department.
In the department.
Not in the county.
No, but the seniority of having a highly qualified and experienced staff means that you also end up having more time off, so you have more shifts to cover as well as more demand. At any given time, we may have only three officers out covering the entire county, and the demand and the amount of traffic and everything just continues to go up since that time, but we were not able to fund that in this budget.
Okay.
Again, primarily because of the jail and court costs.
Chuck.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a couple things. On the tax rate up from 360 to 375, that 375 includes the county library, I take it?
Right.
So the city of La Crosse residents will not pay 375.
No.
What is the rate this year for the 22? Was 20 last year?
It's actually on the yellow sheet. The detail is broken down there, operating, library, and debt.
Another thing is, you touched on it just briefly, but this is not understood, but probably as important to budgeting as an equalized valuation. This year, the county went up $96,610,000. That sounds like a lot. It's nothing. It's not 1.79. I think it's 1.29.
Right.
And that's where you get your tax base. And as they get, municipalities get assessed or reassessed in most cases, and that it's going to be very interesting to see what that figure is, because I think if they do comparison, I think she's going to go south. I checked back to 1992, lowest we ever had was $4.01, and I bet I didn't have any more budgets to look at to go back, but that is by far, this at $1.29 is staggering. And I think that's what you're struggling with, too, is the tax base is just not going up like it used to. It used to go up $400 million or something. Now this is $96 million is really a drop in the bucket. So if we could free up some of them TIFs from the city of La Crosse, it probably would help.
Well, but I did ask Steve to give us a breakdown in residential. We took a hit. Actually, industrial was up. So thanks to our economic development efforts, there's a bit of a relief there to offset, but the residential was just atrocious.
Yeah, the manufacturing went up $13.6 million, or about 9%, while the rest of the whole county, including the TIFs, went up an average of 1.79, and the amount just out in West Salem manufacturing property in the last 2 years, $2.9 million for River Steel, which is first on the tax rolls this year. Select Trusses the year before was $2.07 million and $2.5 million in 06 and 07. So almost $7 million just in, or over $7 million just in the West Salem Business Park through the efforts of the county board and staff to continue to work to adding more tax base. We can always use more, but that helps. It's in the TIF. You're exactly right, because somebody's got to pay for the roads. Yep. But at least it's a shorter-term TIF than some of the others.
Okay.
My next intention, if you'd like, is to go to the yellow sheet and just highlight for you, and then just ask for any questions. But as you see, ranked in order of the highest increase in tax levy are the priorities of this administrator's budget, based on what I feel. In working for you and working with you, the needs of the county are, and the best that we can do given the parameters of what we have. Highway budget has the largest increase in levy by over $700,000, and again, that doesn't include the $1 million that's applied from the old landfill fund.
Steve, nobody up front has that one.
That was, oh, I'm sorry.
You're not up front. I said the people up front don't have one.
Okay.
No, it wasn't.
No, it was distributed with your book at the same time, and then your packet tonight had more information, and I'll get to that. So
it was in my book. Never mind. Well, Marion didn't have one. That's why.
What I do hope this is helpful is you're ever wondering, well, you know, the tax levy goes up. Where are we actually spending the dollars? What are our priorities? I'm hoping by putting that in a ranking that it makes it easier than trying to go through, you know, hundreds of pages in here and trying to identify that, because when you just talk about gross spending, you may not immediately pick up what the levy impact is. Now, let me talk about where that increase is. It ends up moving our average spending over the last several years for capital road projects from an average of $1.7 million to $2.1 million for 2009 for highways within the county. It will end up being three projects that's included in the back of your book in the capital budget item, the goldenrod pages, so you can actually see the road projects that are there. We were just discussing with the Public Works and Infrastructure Committee that's barely keeping up with the cost of anticipated inflation in the cost of asphalt. While it sounds like a great deal of money and is one of the largest investments that we've made in roads, it's barely keeping ahead of that and is not meeting all of the needs of increased traffic, increased demand that's put on the road system by developers that don't pay for it. All the cul-de-sacs that get added, all the developments that happen out there aren't paying increased amount of money other than a small amount of property taxes. They're not paying for the impact on the road system, and this is where the general property taxpayer is trying to pick that up. Part of that $765,000, of course, is the shifting of levy from paying off the old highway shop. Remember, we're going to pay that off this year, and that roughly $400,000 will be added to end up paying directly for roads. So we'll pay it off 3 years early, save about $80,000 worth of interest, and also end up putting it right back into the roads, which I think is a good use of your levy authority. It also, of course, pays for wage and benefits on a much smaller scale out of that number for the highway staff. Any questions about highway? I should point out while you're thinking about that, at the Public Works and Infrastructure Committee this afternoon, at request of Supervisor Friedland, we did have a discussion about one of the future options potentially for funding roads other than levy. Obviously, you've talked in previous years about the concept of utilizing short-term or long-term debt. Again, this budget does not rely on that. It relies on property tax levy and use of the old landfill proceeds that are there, but one option you have is called a wheel tax. There are counties and cities within the state, and we're still compiling who else is doing this. We understand that St. Croix County has instituted this last year. Some cities have done this. Eau Claire County is considering it, although in talking with their administrator through voicemail, we've been passing voicemail questions back and forth, he does not expect that probably to pass yet this year. Just to give you a magnitude, if you were to institute a $10 wheel tax, it's administered by the state. All vehicles in the county that register then, it's applied to and added to their registration, other than those that are exempt, and all vehicles under $8,000 would generate a little over $900,000 a year. Pardon? It's hard to read your lips when you're not.
Under 8,000?
8,000 pounds, I'm
Thank
sorry.
Thank you.
Yep. There are much larger vehicles already pay an increased, and that, my understanding is they don't pay that.
Leon?
$10 per vehicle. And again, this isn't being proposed in this budget. I'm just bringing it up so you know it's one of the few funding options other than debt, with a 2% levy limit and increases in asphalt costs of 70% over what we were previously budgeting. You're going to continue to be challenged in future years to be able to just keep up with basic road maintenance, let alone the impact on the roadway system because of developments that don't pay anything additional to pay for improved turn lanes, intersection improvements, signals, and the impact on the road system.
Dan Meyer.
On the $10 wheel tax, how much do we get back?
In this example, it would be $930,000. 90 cents. No, it's actually
$9.90.
The state keeps 10 cents as an administrative cost.
What can you administrate for 10 cents?
I don't know what's yeah. Okay, moving on then. The next highest increase in levy, of course, is our jail. This does not include the debt service. Just let me remind you that that is just the operations of the jail. And as you'll notice, that's a $400,000 increase in property tax levy. Roughly half of that is starting the new jailers in April or May. It depends on exactly how quickly we can get through the interview and training process. Remember that the day one that you hire a jailer isn't the day they're actually able to start. It includes training. There's a great deal of liability in operating a jail, so you can't put a jailer into the system that hasn't had adequate training and background, but that's a significant impact. And, of course, by starting the midway through the year, obviously next year you'll have the balance of that cost because it would cost more to start them January 1, but we won't have enough work to start them January 1. So we made a judgment along with the sheriff on when to start them. Anything else on jail? Again, you'll be spending quite a bit of time on the law enforcement center construction bids and dealing with the debt services that comes through.
Jill.
When we talked about jailers before, there was an NIC report that was done that studied staffing. How will this put us after we... I don't know, it might be apples and oranges because it's sort of a different facility.
I think that's a bit of it. It's apples and oranges, but frankly, if everybody remembers the long discussion and debate we had last year about this, this was the best we were able to do with the sheriff's needs. He would have preferred to have more staffing for that, but remember we identified one position, which is six FTEs to cover at the physical locations that are there. In fact, that's part of some of the decisions we had to make in how we structured the jail, is that we couldn't finish all of the first floor, the part that we could have remodeled, which is included as an additional phase later on, because we would have needed an additional six positions. So we think it's going to work. The sheriff and I have agreed that we're going to work through this and try this. That was the commitment we made last year. But again, it's going to be up to what's the level of census in the jail and that kind of thing.
At what point will the NIC come and look at our new facility?
Hopefully after it's done, we could do that. But
like immediately?
Well, they come only by invitation.
Yeah, that's...
It's not an automatic thing.
The state inspector, of course, is always involved, but NIC is by invitation.
Okay, thank you.
Vicki, did you... Okay.
The next level of increase is in the court system, $356,000. Those increases are directly related to, in addition to staff costs, of course, legal costs are up. We've been working very closely with the judges and the defense bar trying to come up with a way of potentially controlling some of those costs through a means of contracting. We have not yet developed a proposal that meets everybody's needs or agreement. Chairman Doyle has been very involved in trying to help us work with the local legal community, work with the judges on this. We're hoping to control those costs long term, but this is a perfect example when we talk about unfunded mandates, and some people just say, well, what's the new ones? You shouldn't have to worry about the old ones, and I know legislators will say that to me quite often. The fact is that this is an example. Indigent costs for attorneys haven't changed for public defender qualifications since 1987. That means that every time somebody is unable to pay for an attorney and doesn't qualify for a public defender because all the costs are frozen for eligibility, it all goes on the property tax. So when the judge is sitting in a position having to make a decision about the ability of that client to get adequate legal representation and they don't qualify for public defender, the judge is in a difficult position. He's got to award indigent representation, and that all comes on the property taxpayer. That's statewide, and since the same period of time, every single new surcharge placed on clients that come through the judicial system, that revenue goes to the state. It doesn't come to counties. So if you know a client that actually goes through and has to pay this fee and that fine and everything else, every new charge that the state has imposed has gone to the state, not to counties. So both in the way that they've capped what happens in where costs go for indigent client care as representation, as well as in the charges go to the state general fund to pay for courts. If anybody's interested in the details, I've got a really good detail study that was done by Sheboygan County, tracks every single surcharge. I was shocked when I saw that, because obviously I wasn't here in La Crosse County in 87. I was in Marinette County. I didn't have all that detail, but that's available if you'd like that. So it's pushing more and more cost over to county property taxpayers, and if they don't address it, it's going to continue to do that every year, which is why we're trying to find some way to work together with local attorneys that didn't cause the problem to try to figure out if there's a more cost-effective way of providing the service, as well as there's been a decrease in revenues because, again, how they handle, I think, was small claims. So there's another decrease in the revenue side while we've got increased costs. So that's a long explanation, and Pam could provide you more detail if you'd like, and we will at Law Enforcement Center Committee tomorrow. But that's one of the reasons you've got over a $300,000 cost increase in tax levy just for courts. As I said, I don't have a lot of good news tonight. I'm just sharing with you the difficult choices we had to make to bring you a budget. Next, of course, is one of your largest departments is Human Services, and the increase in levy costs that they have there is roughly half of their increase in wage and benefit costs. We made other cuts within the department. The Health and Human Services Department will be wrestling with some of those cost cutbacks in preventative services and some of the other contributions that we make. But Larry and Jerry and his staff just made an unbelievable yeoman's effort to try to bring in the lowest cost levy increase they could. They still had the struggle to do that, but they've done just a great job, even if I called you Larry right now. So that's blah, 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 blah. I've been talking too long, obviously. Those are the highest level of tax increases in... Can we go to that one slide on... did it lock me out? While you're looking at the yellow page, maybe there's other questions that you have, but I just wanted to highlight those. I didn't want to belabor the points that you made. Obviously, we already pointed out the loss of CMO revenue. Again, that's a loss of the ability of our indirect costs, our administrative costs, to be charged back to CMO, but we didn't increase staffing to provide that level of service. Now we don't have that revenue that was helping to offset that. I mentioned the impact on Sheriff's Patrol. In addition to not being able to provide support for the request for two full-time additional patrol officers, we've got an increase in gas costs of up to about $45,000. Your guess is as good as mine. Our gas price is going to stay down. When we were doing the budget, they were closer to $4. Again, it's a guess into the future, but we've struggled to stay within budget this year for gas costs. Justice sanctions, of course, is also one of the higher ones that are here. Just below Sheriff's Patrol is an increased levy of $140,000. We're having to reexamine the cost effectiveness of staffing within justice sanctions, and we're reexamining, and we'll discuss with Human Services tomorrow night the community services position. Since the closure of the Huber facility, the total number of community service hours is much less than it was when we justified having a full-time position. We have a long-term county employee there that we're going to try to work with and try to find another position within the county through attrition, but we're having to look for every way to control the property tax levy with injustice sanctions, as you all know, and we'll continue to look at that. That will come back to the board as part of the personnel resolution that we'll bring to you.
Audrey.
Thank you. In relation to the justice sanctions and the community service, if there is, or at least as it sounds like, there is the likelihood of needing to reduce that that time, is there any way you could work with the city municipal judge to get him to provide support to him in administering a community services program? The People more and more comment to me that they miss seeing the people out there doing, pulling the weeds, picking up the paper, whatever, you know, the trash and those kind of things. And I mean, this is a far-fetched wish, I suppose, in a way. But the current municipal judge, I understand, doesn't feel that that's a program that can be practical or useful.
Well, Jane can probably help me respond to it better, but again, it ties into when folks were in Huber and they weren't going to a job, it was easy to assign them to community service crews. Now that they're out in the community in justice sanctions, there tends to be more people directly working and less hours of community service. By, I think it's dropped off by, what, 75%? 70 to 80% less work hours in supervision by the community services position. So it's not a very cost-effective program, and Jane and her staff have evaluated that they could absorb those same number of hours within existing staff. Mm-hmm. None of these decisions are easy, but we'll be reviewing that with Health and Human Services tomorrow and coming back to the full board. I'll talk with Jane more about your suggestion and see if there is any.
It's kind of far-fetched, but sometimes wild ideas can
Jane,
work.
Do you have more to add, possibly? So we'll examine all options, right? The last one, obviously, is again one of the largest impacts on your levy, is with the economy down and less transfers of property, register of deeds revenue is down significantly and is one of the largest reasons that their levy has increased, when usually they're a net savings to the budget because of the amount of revenue that they generate. Again, we ranked all of these in that area. I'd like to go through some of the other handouts that we have for you, but let me see if there are other questions about this document. I hope you find it's helpful to be able to identify where the major changes are in levy.
Margaret.
Thank you. Early on, you talked about a total something about being 1.3% right before you talked about the 5.45 tax levy increase. And could you just tell me one more time the total what was 1.3?
Total gross expenditures.
Which covered all departments.
All departments, right. Okay. And that's in a box that's down here summarized for you, which is total gross expenditures of $211,000 back in 2008, this current calendar year, versus this year of $131 million. But you've got to back out CMO and the law enforcement construction, so you compare apples to apples, because obviously we'd show a much bigger decrease if we just showed that decrease. But apples to apples, it's a 1.3% increase in total gross expenditures.
Thank you.
And most of that increase, of course, has to be picked up disproportionately by the property taxpayer because, again, additional revenue isn't provided. There are a number
Maureen.
Of hands, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Just a little bit more about the wheel tax. Just for general information purposes, a municipality can impose a wheel tax or a county can impose a wheel tax. And the idea was that if the county did it, it could have a formula to share the funds with the municipalities based on the vehicle miles traveled so that there could be a fair way of collecting the money and then apportioning it out to the people who are using it. So it isn't just, for example, the city imposing a wheel tax and then other people coming in and using the city roads. So this could be an area of cooperation if we could get the cities, the two municipalities involved in this as well. In Milwaukee, the idea of the wheel tax originally was to raise money for the transit system, although as it eventually evolved, after a veto, the money will be used to take the place of special assessments so that it can repair individual neighborhoods and individual streets. So it's really the nice thing about a wheel tax is there's a direct correlation between the amount raised and who's paying for it and what's being done with it. So just an idea.
Certainly as an idea. The other point, of course, that you touched on is that counties do not have special assessment power. Only municipalities do. So for us to give up part of our revenue authority in combination with municipalities would be a difficult challenge for us, because we don't have the ability to do special assessments. Cities do, villages do. And again, in this state, we don't have that authority. Other states, counties do.
Right, but the money could be used for anything that has to do with transportation. So it could be used for highway patrolmen,
right.
Even. It's really very broad as to what can be done with this. It just has to be used,
sure,
for transportation purposes.
Well, all I'm trying to do is make the point from a parochial standpoint of responsibility for the county. We are so far below what level we should be funding roads in, and to give up part of that revenue source, if we were going to take the decision and you were going to take the difficult policy decision of establishing a new fee and then share it with an entity that didn't have to make that tough political decision, when you have about $24 million plus of unmet road needs that are already identified within your CIP. If you look in the back in the goal bar, again, I'm not trying to debate. I'm just trying to point out some of the pros and cons. We were actually discussing this at Public Works just at 4 o'clock.
Jeff Schrader.
Thank you. I guess it's for my information, because I understand it. Do the amount of foreclosures that have gone on in the county over the last year, year and a half, 2 years, does that in any way affect our budgeting or our budget?
It impacts what the total equalized value is, so it ends up impacting total market value. We haven't seen a huge spike in delinquencies, have we, Gary, in the last financial statement, although you would expect that if that continues to accelerate, or if the economy goes some of the dire predictions that some people are saying are possible, it would eventually impact us, certainly. But we haven't had a long enough history with that to see a big impact. And again, if you look at our comprehensive annual financial report, actually shows the percentage of delinquencies and how those are coming in. We haven't seen a big spike, but this hasn't been a long-term historical fact just yet. I don't know, Gary, is there anything else that can I answer your question?
Chuck Spiker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In 2007, did Hillview run about a $300,000 deficit and cover it up by using it out of the undesignated fund? I was reading their minutes here, a long time ago, and I remember they were looking at that. And I don't know if they ever did run the deficit and pay out, or is that...
Actually, each year they tend to budget very conservatively and expect to use some of their fund balance. And I believe over the last several years, that's never... Their most dire prediction hasn't come to pass. So I'd have to look at that exactly.
Okay.
But they... Go ahead. Gary's got some better information.
The actual numbers are they had an operating income loss of $105,711, but then they had interest income. So the net loss was only
$11,972. Okay. But it was I don't know what they were doing in the minutes, so it was looking that they were projecting $300,000.
For what year?
For 2007.
What?
So
yeah,
that didn't happen?
No.
Okay.
Right.
Thank you.
Any other questions? The next things I'd like to touch on for you are, if you haven't spent some time with it, is, again, an innovation that we added was to summarize your entire comprehensive annual financial report, at least as related to undesignated fund balances, for the entire county, both sides, so that when we talk about the use of fund balances and why we think we're doing it on a conservative basis and very judicious, rather than just saying apply fund balance to the bottom line, and some entities do that. We wanted to make sure you knew and could track back to the exact fund balance sheet that shows 1 year to the next how we're actually using that. You'll also notice then that if you go to that page, you can see that there are places that we're using fund balance. There are places that we've discontinued using fund balance when they aren't targeted to specific purposes, and that I can walk through that as well. You'll notice that we are relying slightly more on fund balance to help provide for some of the expenses. Probably the biggest increase, of course, is the And it's in order of general fund, land records, special assessment. Each fund, the biggest increase in change, of course, is the newly established interest reserve fund, which ends up something that you established in the resolution last county board meeting that tries to stabilize our reliance on interest revenue that's generated because many years it's been very positive, but several years ago it wasn't, and obviously it has a lot to do with what interest rates are, which are lower than they have been, and so that's the most significant change in our use of fund balance for 2009. So I don't know if people had specific questions, or do you want me to walk through line by line and talk about those? Again, I don't want to belabor points that people, you know, feel comfortable just reading and getting that information. At the same time, I want to...
Right, I think they can ask you questions. Tara.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. 8521 is transportation money federal into aging. Is that right?
That's right.
Thank you.
Jaron Hampson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I wonder if you could, on the long blue sheet, talk about the undesignated fund balance that at one point is 59% and another is 55%. On this blue sheet, you're taking from specific reserves.
Mm-hmm.
Are you taking something out of the general fund balance?
Let Gary describe this.
Okay, in regard to your, I believe what your first question was, again, if you go to the general fund area, fund 100, 59% represents the undesignated fund balance as a percent of actual 2007 revenues. The 55% towards the bottom there of that category is the fund balance as a percentage of 2007 budgeted expenditures. So that's the difference between those 2%. And what was the second part of your question, please?
What are you taking out?
Okay. Keep in mind that based upon the resolution that we passed last month to set up interest revenue stabilization reserve, and the fact that we're going to come up short for our 2008 budget, we're taking from the $16,948,301, we have to subtract $3,690,773 for the interest revenue stabilization fund, and then we have to subtract the $493,047 that we're going to be using in the 2009 budget. So that would bring the percent down to 0.44, which is still within the county ordinance that requires that we keep somewhere between 40 to 50% in the undesignated fund balance.
That answer your question, Sharon? Tara?
How are you feeling about that, Gary?
I'm feeling fine. Again, I really feel that the interest revenue stabilization fund was a necessity.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was forward-looking on our part and on your part to do that, again, because of what's going on in the credit markets, financial markets. And again, I mean, we, you know, 59% was getting on the high side. I mean, it was above what our ordinance states, and I think, again, as long as we're utilizing and managing that usage in a useful purposes, I feel fine.
Thank you.
Sure. John Menninger.
You know, I'm just trying to understand this budget and also look out a little bit into the future. I mean, even on these foreclosure issues like Jeff was talking about, I mean, I guess in one sense, we don't really care because whoever owns the property has to pay the property taxes, whether it's a bank or an individual or whoever owns the property, right? I mean, we assess whoever the property owner is and we get our money. I mean, it's maybe hard luck for the people that own the house, but I think that's the case. So we get our money no matter what. But I was thinking, you know, along some of the lines Mr. Spiker was talking about, of the shift from the city of La Crosse to the rest of La Crosse, which county, which he's very aware of. those of us that live in the city of La Crosse are doing pretty well with our county property taxes. It's a reflection of poverty, obviously, and housing values. But if the housing values plummet, you know, it isn't what the sales are. And I know some of the houses in my neighborhood are selling $10,000, $20,000 less than people are asking for. But the assessor determines what the fair market value is. But if all of a sudden the fair market value is the same as housing sales, and property values in La Crosse County don't go up 1 or 2%, but go down 15 or 20%, you got yourself a pretty big problem, don't you? I mean, this is a piece of cake. This is nothing, right?
I wouldn't say it's a piece of cake, but it's the biggest
this
challenge.
This budget is a piece of cake compared to that.
Well, I guess I wouldn't use that term, because what ends up happening is this is more difficult than when property values are rising and there's new construction to help pay for some of services. But if the economy's going down and people are more challenged economically, guess where they go for more services? People are more reliant on counties. They have more mental health issues, more family issues, more courts issues. The difficult part is when things get worse, counties are more reliant on it, and,
right.
and so it increases our challenge as well.
Right.
And of course, if values go down, which we haven't seen, they've stabilized. We could give you a more detailed history, because I look back about 30 years of what that has been. We've never had a drop off to that level. We've had it drop a little bit, but never that bad. But that's a bigger indication of what else is happening in the economy, and you can bet that's going to impact the amount of crime going on, the amount of family problems. It will increase the demand. So, heaven help us if you know some of the dire predictions happen.
Because we still have, conceivably, the state controls on our what you can increase.
And you know, while I'm very critical of the state, and I'm not bashful about that. Fact is, they're in a deficit position. They don't have a great deal of options. Even if they agree with everything I say about they should be funding mandates and everything else, they don't have a lot of choices.
No.
They've got a tougher financial position right now, and of course, then don't get me started on the federal government.
No, well, right.
You know, it's not a good picture.
But looking out a year, it's could be interesting.
Gary has some follow up.
We did have some negative percent increases in the equalized value in the mid 80s, 1984. 1986 and 1987, they were modest. I mean, they were, I guess, the largest percent decrease was 3.65.
But not to the level of the 10 or 15% that, you know.
Ralph Geary.
Well, in regards to John's question, when equalized valuation is going up rapidly, we always talk about, well, we didn't raise the mill rate, we lowered the mill rate. If it
right.
drops, are we raising the mill rate? If the equalized valuation goes down, is the mill rate going to go up?
Right, and that's what that earlier slide showed.
Right, so I mean, you know, when it's going up crazy, hey, we had the mill rate go from 4 to 3.98, and everybody's equalized valuation went up 10%, big deal. Now if it goes down, the reverse will happen, be like
right.
a teeter-totter there.
Dan Bina.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. But the problem is it's out there, and nobody knows how far and how bad it will get. As of this morning, about noon, the stock market dropped, 500 points, I heard on the radio, because Europe has
had
a problem.
They had to ruin our night tonight. I hadn't looked.
Hey, you know, no, but we may get through this year with this, but if any more banks start failing, we're going to have an economic downturn like you never did see. I got two questions, I guess. You have alternative energy for $100,000, which you had in there last year.
Right.
Did we spend that money, or is that
no.
just a carryover?
No, and just to remind you, when we do things that I've called placeholders or an example, we would bring those decisions back to you. So that has not happened.
I didn't hear that you did anything.
Right, we didn't, and you would have to make that decision as a county board to proceed.
Okay, we're looking at alternative energy through the committee I'm on, so we might. Okay. Well, the other thing, Gary, I guess I had a question for you. We developed that new pot of money for interest reserve account. Couldn't you just as well have taken that out of the county budget, the general fund, And I realize what you did. You took the, what was it, $2.5 million and slid it out of the general fund, which brought our percentage different than what it was before, but because we were pushing the top limit. Isn't that a kind of a cop-out for the 59%, which we are at, and we're pushing the upper limits? So that brought it down to something less, because we moved that out of the general fund and put it in another category. We could have just as well used the interest income. Even though it's down, we could have taken that out of the general fund just like we did have in the past. And I don't follow your thinking on the segregated fund that we set up. I was going to ask the question last week, and I didn't get it asked, but...
Well, and I believe in the 2008 budget, we were relying on interest income of $2.5 million, okay?
And that was nice.
Yeah.
If you go to page 31, it's...
It's towards the top. Well, anyway, I'll keep talking as he's looking there.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We budgeted, and again, in part based on history, we budgeted $2.5 million of interest revenue in the 2008 budget. Okay. Well, because interest rates have dropped rapidly, we know we're not going to get that. We're thinking we'll probably get $1.5 million. Okay.
Sure.
So that's a million short. And again, like you said, whether it comes from the interest revenue stabilization fund or the general fund balance, it's the same at the end for the end of this year. But again, since we had the $2.5 million revenue in the 08 budget, we need to again maintain that $2.5 million level, so to speak, in the 2009 budget, or drastically cut services by $1 million,
or take it out of the general fund.
Well, keep in mind, we know that we have this hole going forward that we're not going to be getting interest revenue. So either we use it for this hole, or possibly somebody will come up with some other need or reason to use it. So.
It's line number 58590. It's about one third of the way down from the top of the page.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And you'll see that we budgeted 2008 when interest rates were stable and high, running about 5%.
I agree.
Month after month, it looked like we could rely on that. And in fact, we made in that calendar year, 2007, almost $2.8 million. We under budgeted, in theory, a revenue that now in 08. We're not going to make that 2.3. Just last year, at the close of last year, we made almost 2.8 million. We'll be lucky to make the 1.5 million. That's why we use this, because we've already funded those services as if we were going to make 2.8.
I would agree.
Okay, time out. We had this discussion the last meeting. Yeah. We need to talk about the next budget and the issues that are before us. So I don't want to cut you off, Mr. Bina, but we really need to move on.
Okay, go ahead.
Brian Friedland.
Well, we'll probably talk about this more at the LAC meeting tomorrow, but can any of that money that's in the interest stabilization reserve be used for LAC purposes?
It would be against the whole philosophy of what we're trying to do, which is to stabilize interest revenue, which helps to control total property taxes. There are several options of how to deal with the law enforcement center debt, and we'll talk about that and how to stabilize that as we're paying off the existing law enforcement center, but this would not be the appropriate way to do that, in my professional opinion.
Okay.
So again, unless there are more specific questions, this at least compares year to year, and I think that's also a good way you can see how we're making those decisions and what we're relying on from use of fund balance. It's targeted to specific purposes, not just to the bottom line. So if our fund balance isn't as strong and we don't want to do or fund specific things, we can make those changes in expenditure. It's not directly to wages or benefits or something else. They're targeted very specific purposes. The other green sheet that we give you, and each year we update you on this, is the excess sales tax budgeted, generated, available, and applied by each budget year. You see that in 2008 we budgeted $9.7 million. It's too early to tell because there's always a lag on receipts, but we aren't expecting that to grow at all into next year, depending on what happens to the economy. One of the reasons that we keep that reserve separately is that if we don't generate as much as we budgeted, we do have the ability to use this fund balance towards that. So if you just follow through the column of 2008 and recognize that the excess available at the end of 2007 was $3.6 million, excess applied, which was primarily for the county road project as well as for economic development budget, at the end of 2008, if all the budget works out, you should be about $2 million in that reserve. If sales tax revenues don't increase beyond the 9.7, which we budgeted in 2009, you'll use about $300,000 of that, and at the end of 2009, we'll be down to about $1.7 million. So we have been whittling that down. We won't be continuing to increase that unless there is just a drastic change or turnaround in the local economy. But again, we want to keep you up to date on that, because I know over the years you've been concerned about being able to utilize that to actually control property taxes. We're able to do that by using this revenue source to help to pay for the economic development efforts in that budget.
Okay.
Okay, the last two items that I wanted to talk about, and then that's pretty much what I wanted to cover for this evening with you. If you have not taken some time and gone through the goldenrod pages at the back of the book, that gives you the multi-year or five-year capital improvement plan. You'll notice that page by page, you'll continue to see unfunded needs that are listed there, including building renovation and replacement of this building, but we're going to get through the law enforcement center decision before we come back to the campus plan. You'll see minor improvements that need to happen within the Health and Human Services building on an ongoing basis, other items within the law enforcement center and the downtown campus, and of course, if you flip over to the next page, parks and campgrounds. You'll also notice that the program housing for the women's community-based program, remember, we did not end up making that decision this year, so we're budgeting for it again this year, but we're not going to use it this year, the alternative energy that we just talked about. And then, of course, you see the LEC Construction Fund. That just reminds you of the future projection of additional phases beyond the current phase that you're about to deal with the bid award on and those types of things. Our goal, of course, will be hopefully that those phases are as far into the future as we can keep pushing them and that we can live within what you're currently constructing. But at least there's a number to track if that ends up being a future decision by this board. On page 3 is the detailed listing of highway construction projects. You'll notice the 3 that we believe we're able to do within the cost of asphalt this year. While $2.1 million is a large investment and it exceeds what we've averaged in highways over the last 10 years, we are only able to do 3 projects for that. And you'll see that we try to live within that for each of the next several years with talking with the chairman of Public Works and Infrastructure and those members of that committee, we expect this winter to spend some time talking about road priorities, needs, and those types of things, so we'll be better prepared for 2010 and beyond. But again, there aren't a lot of new revenue sources beyond these 2 years that can help us solve that. I'll jump to the next page, which is page 4. You'll notice that Hillview has their ongoing small and minor building improvement capital items. They also have a placeholder for consideration for an assisted living facility. Pete Ide and his staff believe that there should be enough demand for considering doing an assisted living facility. They would have to make a recommendation to Aging Long-Term Care and myself and bring that on to the full board. But again, it's a placeholder in case they're able to produce the economic analysis that you would be willing to consider to do something like that. Lakeview has a list of capital improvements, and the biggest items, of course, that you want to see are projected in 2009 and 2010 on page 5, over $400,000 in this current year and $4.1 million in 2010 and beyond. That will tie into a long-term capital improvement plan that will link with our partnership with other counties, and we will come back to you for making any final decisions there. And, of course, solid waste, the landfill renovation. While we've done most of the work that's needed out there, Phase 7 and other individual projects will come back through Public Works and Infrastructure. So as you can see, we have a very ambitious budget, continuing to meet the capital needs of the county, as well as being able to meet the challenges of revenue limits and those kinds of things. But it's been a difficult budget, but hopefully as we discuss these items with governing committees and bring each one of these individual decisions to you, again, I want to offer, as Steve said earlier, if you just, whether it's in your committee or a committee that you don't serve on, you're just wondering what any line item means or what's going on, or you want some help in preparing a motion or a change to any of these items, we'll help you work on that. We've done the best job we could, but again, you have to be comfortable with the decisions that are made in this budget, and we'll work with you to help go through the next several weeks as we review this.
Questions for Steve? Other comments? All right.
The last two slides that I do want to share with you are that we're still on pace to be able to provide 2009 and 2010 budget recommendations that will be under the 5.4 and 5.3 that we have there. We will give you additional options and recommendations that should help lower that somewhat. And I just want to remind you that if we're able to do that and do it over the next 2 years, these would be two of the lowest property tax levy increases over the last really since 2000. And again, I know that's never a good enough answer. If we could do magic, we would do a better job of lowering that levy. But given all of the underfunding of mandates from the state and federal government and the need to provide services to our community, I do think it's important to look at what our historical impact has been, and that we continue to gauge ourselves based on our history as well. And the last slide I want to show you, of course, is that LEC bids are going to go to the Law Enforcement Center Committee tomorrow, and then hopefully with their direction we'll prepare a resolution for County Board consideration at a future meeting. That the October 15th meeting of LEC hopefully will adopt a resolution dealing with the bid awards to whatever level they're willing to do. Committee budget reviews will continue through the rest of the week, particularly at Executive Committee on Wednesday. We'll start with the departments that report to that committee, get as much through as we can, and set another meeting date for final wrap-up, or as many meetings as Executive requires. County Board will get some overview on the 16th of your Law Enforcement Center bids and where that puts us, and hopefully either at that meeting or at the October 20th meeting, we're set to spend that whole evening on the Law Enforcement Center if necessary to be able to come to a bid award decision. November 3rd is an additional budget discussion plus public hearing and additional meetings. If you feel that we've spent too little time in any area or want to spend more time, you know, we can set additional meetings as well.
Questions for Steve on that? A couple things I want. Anything else on the budget,
no.
Steve? A couple things I want to mention to people. Things that are coming up: the women's-based community program, or the women's community-based program. Sorry. Anybody who is interested, I think you got a notice. We are touring, Jane, four houses. This Friday, from 4 to 6 p.m., we'll be driving around together with county van or whatever. If you are interested. Have we figured out where people should meet?
South end of this building.
If you want to see the possible houses that have been proposed to us, this Friday, 4 o'clock. Tomorrow, Ellie, Ms. Bina. Yes, that is the permanent location. Yep. Jeff?
If we can't make that meeting, could we get a list of the buildings so we can look on our own?
Sure. Jane, why don't we email that out to people? Everybody who has email, you have email, right, Jeff?
I do, but I don't.
You do, but you don't. Okay. but, yeah, if we can get that out to people, that would be helpful. Then you could see. I know some of them off the top of my head, but not all of them. We'll try to get that out to people. Secondly, tomorrow, very important meeting for the Law Enforcement Center Construction Committee, the bids information that's going to be presented. Anybody, whether you're a member of that committee or not, I would encourage you to be there. That's tomorrow at 4 o'clock. Flipping to next week, the what I guess I'll call the Community Committee of the Community-Based Facility for Women will be meeting again at 6:30. This will be our third meeting. We're getting close to the end in terms of once they may have a recommendation, then it'll go to our regular county board committees and will work its way through our process. But we wanted to get as much public participation as possible. So if you're interested in that one, that is next Tuesday at 6:30, and I know we've had a couple of county board members come to that. If you are on the executive committee, reminder, we meet this Wednesday. Please bring your calendar with you. Because as Steve mentioned, we need to figure out the additional meeting or meetings, plural, for the budget before it gets to the full county board. So please bring your calendar with you so we can get that set. Tara?
Just if I can go back to budget for a second. I think this is a few more budgets than you've done, Steve O'Malley, in La Crosse County for me. But I just want to thank Steve and Gary and Mary and every, you know, all the other staff members who I know have put a lot of hours into this. It seems like every year it gets a little bit easier to understand. And maybe that's just, you know, the training process for all of us. But it seems like it wasn't that long ago that we kept asking for other information or something you mentioned, Steve or Gary, would prompt another question. And it really feels this year like you've anticipated a lot of those questions and have given us the information up front. So at least from where I'm sitting, I feel very prepared to make these decisions that we have to make. And so I wanted to publicly thank you for that because you kind of slipped away from the podium before we got to say that to you.
Okay. Anybody have any announcements, future agenda items, anything else? Steve, you got anything else? Okay. I think Bob Kyle. Moved by Bob Kyle to adjourn, second by Jerry Sobranek. Thank you, Bob. Caught you by surprise there. All in favor, say aye. Opposed, no. Carried.